Hi, Ron. This is Patty.
This is he.
I am glad to speak with you. Thank you for talking with me today.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate your participation. How are things in Kansas? Do you have fall there now?
Yes, our fall colors have just started about a week ago, and we're over the hump of it. Are you in New England area?
Actually, I'm in Indiana.
Oh, in Indiana.
Indiana.
Then you're just a hair north of us, not much.
Yeah. So actually, our color is just about the same.
Oh, okay.
We're about a week into it.
This
is a nice time in Indiana.
Now, are you close to Indianapolis?
We're halfway between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne.
Okay. So, yeah, you're about the same latitude as we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your longitude is different. I never get the latitude, longitude. I have to get this straightened out.
Probably we're going to be on the phone probably about 30 minutes today.
Okay.
25 to 30 minutes is typically what these have been doing. And so I don't want to take a big chunk of your day. And we'll get to some of the questions. Some of these may seem redundant. Some of the questions are going to be asking things from a different perspective, possibly, but your answers may be similar. So just bear with me, and we'll see if we can't tease apart some of the variables that we're dealing with here. Okay, first of all, I would like you to give me a brief description of your typical students.
Typical student at Johnson County Community College, in a stat course, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes.
Typical student is someone who's probably going to major in business or possibly is thinking of going into nursing. Very few of them are looking at statistics or math or in that area.
Okay.
This is a terminal course for them in mathematics.
Okay. And what about their age?
We're a typical community college. We have a range of ages from as low as I have a 16-year-old in there right now.
Okay.
But mostly there's 18 to 24. But then again, I'll have 50-year-old, 60-year-old. I had a 73-year-old man in Walla back ago.
Okay.
So our college's mean age is 27, and the average age is 29.5 for the college-wide.
Okay, interesting. So these students are taking this course as a requirement for their program?
Yes, some kind of requirement. Either they needed a second math course, one more after college algebra, or it's a requirement if it's in nursing.
Okay. I'm writing.
That's okay.
And what about the gender balance?
We are about 55% female, 45% male.
Okay. How would you characterize your students' ability level in mathematics?
Below average.
Okay. So you have some challenges.
Yes.
Okay. This is just my interest. How would you characterize their reading level?
We have a large proportion of our students that test into remedial reading.
Okay.
So we're talking, oh gosh, almost 40% of our students coming here are in trouble. Typical, the ones that are coming straight out of high school usually are not strong students.
Okay. All right, that's very interesting. I would like to ask you, what is your definition of fun in a classroom situation?
Oh, when people are relaxed and they're laughing, having a good time, and learning.
Okay. Very good. Of the different possible fun elements, different modalities, different types of things you could do, what have you tried?
Well, I have... I'm the type that likes to bring in humor from outside, so I'll do little comics when I see them.
Okay.
I like to liven up stories, making it personalize it, and making it funny where I'll make up a story about myself. I like to bring in, like today I was just talking to them about The Price is Right, and the probabilities that are doing on there, and to which ones would we like to play, and mm-hmm. could we figure out the probability if we were, had a chance to think about it. So those kind of things.
Okay. So when you use humor, how do you do that?
Usually in my lecture, in the relaxed form.
Okay.
Now, I try not to lecture as much. I'm going to insert some information. I try to do, I'm trying to do the reverse teaching where there's a lot of stuff outside.
Classes?
Yes, where I'm trying to, okay. I am trying to do it, where I'm trying to get them to read and to watch the videos that the publisher has already out there on lectures and do more activities. So when I say lecture, I'm really trying to do large group activities and break them up in small groups and going around and keeping it lively. I try to tell them this is not a library. I would like you to speak and talk and be joyful.
Okay. How do you use the cartoons?
Well, if there's a cartoon that I found that's relevant to what we're talking about, I will pop it up on the overhead and show it. Say it's about regressions, for example, or a cartoon about probabilities, I will pop it up if I have it. And I usually have some in the past. I also use newspaper articles that are, you know, USA Today is really good mm-hmm. about getting articles that are misusing the data. And throw those up, and then we use humor about that too. That maybe we can make some money by contacting them.
All right. Can you tell me about how large are your classes?
We keep our classes at around 24 because we use we have a computer lab. So we have 24 computers in this lab that are laptops that we bring out. And we do have occasional classes that are not in that room, and so that we have 30. So our max is 30 ever. We try to keep it at or less.
All right. Would you describe the material that you are presenting to these students as basic or more advanced?
It's basic. It's intro to stats. We basically start off with just the idea of what qualitative and quantitative variables are, and we'll finish up with doing hypothesis testing, and we usually only do it for the mean and the proportion. Occasionally I'll get to chi-squared. We don't even do analysis of variance at all.
And then, of course,
yeah, and then we do linear regressions, of course. Yeah, I've noticed when the analysis of variances, I don't see very many in an intro course anymore.
Yeah.
We don't even get there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. You'd have to have more hours in your course, I guess.
Yeah.
We
thought about going to a four-hour course where we'd be a three-hour lecture, we'd call it, and then do the fourth hour as a lab, but we're not sure if we can get that through our institutional academic ed affairs committee to get it accepted.
I understand that completely.
Yeah.
The online portion of your course, the videos that you have the students see outside of class, those come from your publisher?
Yes, it's Prentice Hall. We use My Math Lab.
Okay, My Math Lab.
And they do have, with the problem set, they can bring up the book electronically, so they don't even have to purchase a book if they don't want to.
Okay.
And it looks just like the book, so it's kind of nice. And in there, they have quite a bit of videos that show someone lecturing and showing board work. And then they do have animations, and they also have sections that show me how to solve it so they can walk it through it. So I'm trying to get them to use all that technology while we talk about the big things, the big picture, try to put it all together in class.
Do they use any fun elements in the video?
No, it seems pretty boring. Yeah, dry. Okay. I'm not one of these guys that like to sit down and make videos. There's some of my colleagues that do, and it's something that probably would be nice if we could get some videos that are has some more humor in it. And I think there is some out there. I just have to find the time to find them.
Yeah, or make them, and that's a huge time investment.
Oh, that would be. And we could probably do a sabbatical project for that.
It might take more than that.
That may, yeah. Well, at least get some done.
Let's see. Do you find that any of these fun elements that you've used, humor, cartoons, stories, do they work better in some settings than in others?
Well, you know, it seems to work. Well, I teach in different modes, but in the face-to-face class, that's where I use the humor mm-hmm. when I see them. I do have online courses. The only humor I have is to email through them, and I don't contact all of them, only when they need it. But back to the face-to-face class, it all depends on the class.
Okay.
I'll have, one year, I had three different sections of stats, and I was gone one day, and I had my dean take the classes, and he reported to me that says, if I hadn't known better, I would have figured there were three different teachers that were so different. Hmm. So really, it's the group of students. It's almost like the collection of them all and what humor they will have. Some will be so dry. Oh, just tell me the facts, ma'am. Don't mm-hmm. don't elaborate. Or some will just be rolling in the aisle saying, yeah, let's hear some more. You know, and when they get going, I get going more, telling more jokes. But when they start getting pulled back, I start pulling back on the joke telling too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's helpful. How often do you use the various fun elements, cartoons, humor?
Oh, every day, I can. Every day but a test day. And on a test day, I even try to make it fun. You know, like the first question of the test is, what is your name? Try to make it fun. Some don't get it.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. How much class time do you devote to fun things?
On average, probably a third of it.
Okay.
Now, you got to remember, my definition of fun and their definition of fun may be two different things.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I may think it's like fun, and they think, oh, my gosh, this isn't fun.
But some of your students think it's fun, and some of your
yes.
students don't think it's fun.
Well, I steal some stuff from the folks out at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and I do some of the applets in class with it. But I also have them go up, and we were doing dot plots with the Gettysburg Address problem. You're probably familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have them go up to the board and put their mean of their five words they found, and we create a dot plot right up there. And that's one of the activities we try to do and make it fun. And we talk about it, and then we do a random sampling of five letters and find out it's much different than when we were biased.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two graphs, one right below the other, and we can compare it, and I show them where the true population mean is. And we'll use that same data set when we get to spread, and we'll do a standard deviation, then we'll use the central limit theorem on the same one.
Okay.
So I try to revisit it and keep it fun.
Yeah. So you use them over.
Yes, I try to use them
for several topics.
Right. That way they can they're familiar with the data set. I do things like when we get into chi-squared, if we do get into chi-squared, I do the M&Ms where I bring in the Halloween size M&M bags, which they violate the principle, they violate one of our assumptions, and that's they're not large enough, the samples. So we do that, and then I pull them by putting them together in tables, and we pull the M&Ms together, and we do chi-squared on is the distribution of colors as they propose they are. And we run that test and go through it, and then, of course, the humor there is you get to eat it, but after you record it, the color distribution on the M&Ms. And then I also do a thing with the taste test. You know, can you tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll run that test in class. And I have a volunteer that would run the class outside, and the volunteer and I set them all up, and we bring them in, and we run everybody through it.
I don't know why the students wouldn't think that was fun.
Well, we've gone so far. I had one good group of students. I apologize for interjecting. I had one group of students that really had so much fun that they said, well, you can't tell the difference when it's chilled and not chilled. So we went so far as to put one under ice and the other one at room temperature and try it and see if you can tell the difference
mm-hmm.
any easier. And by the way, it became inconclusive with my students. They can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
There's not statistical evidence to believe that they can.
But they think they can.
Oh, yeah. They do. Yeah, they do. They all say they can.
Interesting.
And you know, obviously some get them right and some get them wrong. Just not enough get them right.
Okay. What's my next question? Why did you select the particular modalities or particular activities that you did?
Well, I try to pick things that are relevant to them. You know, like the taste, the Pepsi taste. You know, that's something that they drink. I try to find, but I'm getting so old that I don't relate to them as well, unfortunately. And I try to figure out what do they like. So I try to do surveys of them and find out what artists they like. I'll even try to do stuff like that. Talk about music or movies or something that they like. I'm trying to get a hook in them that I go, whoa, I'm interested in this. Yeah, I'd like to collect some data, and let's find out about it. But I'm finding that most of them, they're not interested in much. They're interested in, you know, texting. They're interested in Facebook. But they don't want me to get on the Facebook and do anything with them or text them.
Yeah, don't bother me.
No. This is just for social activities. But, you know, there's some things that we can do collecting. How much? And I've asked these survey questions with them. You know, how many emails do you get a day? How many text messages do you get a day? How many text messages do you send a day? How many emails do you send a day? How often do you talk to your parents? How many minutes do you talk to your parents? I collect that information, and I find it interesting. You know, I should ask them. I never thought about it. How many friends do you have on Facebook?
So some of the things that you've tried have been effective, some have been ineffective.
Oh, yeah. And I try to evaluate them after each class. And like this one activity that I did, I picked it up from the folks from New Hampshire area. And that was the one where they were talking about Roadless America. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Well, what it was is it started off, it was a real simple one. Then I'm starting to use R now to do it, but the program R. But what you do is the original problem was to randomly select a latitude and longitude, a location in the United States, and see if it's within 1 mile of a road. And say, well, what proportion of the United States is within 1 mile of a road? And so we have the students guess, and then what they do is we have them randomly do the latitude and longitude, and the first thing you do is you go into map it, you type in the latitude and longitude, and you see where it's located. And the first question you ask, is it in the United States? Because you have some priority, you know, parameters you put in there, so you're boxing up the United States. And we're only dealing with the continuous 48 states,
right,
not Alaska, Hawaii. But sometimes you land in Canada or Gulf of Mexico, Pacific, or Atlantic Ocean. So we say, well, that doesn't count. We missed. But if you land in a bottle of water, a body of water that's within the United States, we count it. And of course, if it's within a mile of a road, which if there's a road next to the side of the lake, you could do that. Then the next question is we ask, is it within a mile of road, yes or no? Well, I changed the problem to the state of Kansas, where we're at,
okay,
which is pretty rectangular. We have a little chunk in the corner, which is kind of cool. But we pretty much line it up, and we randomly select it. And I had to change it because in our state, sort of like Indiana, it depends on how you define a road. Well, roads are dirt roads, and in our state, they're within a half mile of each other because of all the farms. So we always have a half-mile grid, north and south, east and west. So everyone would live within it. So I changed the rule to within a 1 mile of a state highway, interstate highway, or federal highway. So a U.S. highway, interstate, or we call them K-10, K-12, Kansas highways. Not county roads, not city roads and stuff like that. And that was a widely different value. And so I had to – my original thing is I had them generate the latitude and longitudes with their calculators with a random number generator and write them down, do 20 of them, and then they easily typed it into Google Earth or something, and they'll zoom in and zoom out, and they had to estimate the mile. Well, since then, I've now used R, where we can put it in there, and R will automatically, put it in the Google Earth for you, and it put up the 20 of them, and it even does a circle that has a radius of 1 mile, and you can look at it and see if a road runs through that circle anywhere. So it makes it a lot easier for the students.
Sure.
They can see it. And we do, first of all, we guess, well, what proportion do you think roads in Kansas of people that live within 1 mile of an interstate highway, a U.S. highway, or a Kansas highway? And we were thinking it would be way, way less, and it was much higher than we thought, because we were thinking more western Kansas, which is much, much more rural than eastern Kansas, mm-hmm. where we're at. And it was higher. It was really close to pretty close to 38% is what we got for a point estimate. So then we built confidence intervals.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of thing that I try, and then I keep modifying it as it goes on. And that, I think, is fun to do because you're going, okay, you know, I'm interested in this. I've thought about doing something. See, we're Johnson County, we're a suburb of Kansas City. We're the largest populated county in the whole state of Kansas, and we're right next to Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas, and, you know, we're all bleeded together. It's sort of like Indianapolis, you know, mm-hmm. just one big blur. I've tried to think about doing stuff right in that area, just so they're interested in it, you know, what they shop for, what they like, what they want to purchase, what are they interested in, what is their social activities, and these are things I'm trying to get information on, so they're willing to collect data and see it, and something we can go out there and just collect on the internet. They love doing that.
Well, that sounds just wonderful. It really sounds like a good activity. Do you find that some of your activities work better for some types of students than for others?
Yeah, some of the – well, yes. There are some students that just don't want any humor. They just want, tell me what I need to know, and I only want to know that. I don't even want to think. And then there's some, yeah, this is fun, let's do it. It's sad, those who don't want to enjoy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just is, I have to be here, just tell me what I have to know.
Let's talk about the things that you have not used yet but are open to trying. Are there any of those things?
Sure. Any suggestions?
Poems and songs.
Songs? Well, I can't sing. But I wouldn't mind playing songs.
Okay.
I thought about doing that, playing music in the class, picking stuff out, little short spit bits. I thought about doing role-playing in the class, like a little bit of acting. You know, dressing up. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've not done that before. Like wear a Sherlock Holmes outfit, for example, a hat and a pipe. If I'm, you know, trying to investigate some information, or possibly, you know, like a Phantom of the Opera outfit, with
mm-hmm.
Phantom music. If I'm trying to get him in the mood for something like that, and collecting data or making it meaningful to him.
Are you planning to use any of these ideas soon?
Not soon, but I plan to do it before I retire someday.
So what's the limitation on keeping you from doing that?
Time and money.
Time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, time. Just to think
time,
about it.
Time,
you're prepping for class. Our teaching load is 15 hours.
Uh-huh.
So it's, you know, grading papers, committee meetings, and responsibilities. You just don't have the time to do that kind of stuff. So you add things slowly at a time. Some things I've eliminated totally from my curriculum, and some I've added, some I modify, some I keep that I still like, but I keep modifying them. It's basically not the same every semester.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Are there any of these fun elements that you are not open to using?
No, I'm always willing to try some. I guess I'm not open to singing because I know I can't sing.
Right.
Yeah, I was a musician enough to know, I was an instrumental musician to know I can't sing, so you don't want to hear me.
Do
so I won't be open
for
that. What's that?
Do you ever play your instrument for class?
No, I never thought about that. I was a woodwind. I played clarinet and saxophone
mm-hmm.
all the way through college. I got all of my humanities credits covered that way, played in the stage band. I bought them out with my kids. My kids play the viola and the cello, and
mm-hmm.
I get my flute out, and I play with them occasionally. So I play clarinet, flute, and sax, and I have an alto, two clarinets, and one flute.
But you don't play them for your students?
No, I never thought about it. Just never dawned on me.
Okay.
Well, maybe something I may do.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I can stand there. I put a hat in front of me, and no, you know, we'll play for tips.
One of the members of our group plays his guitar regularly in class.
Well, the guitar would be a lot easier, or a piano, or a keyboard, because you could talk and do it.
Yeah.
But when you're playing the sax, or clarinet, or flute, you're really limited on how much you can talk.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or if I have the bagpipes, I could talk.
Now listen, nobody should use bagpipes.
But at least you don't have to blow all the time. Just fluff
that's
it up
true.
And squeeze it with your elbow.
Oh, but then you have to listen to it.
Yeah. So now you know why they play them at funerals.
That's right.
People are dying to hear it.
ooh, that was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Bad.
Now you're hearing my jokes, and that's why you hear some of my students go, oh, my, no.
Let's see. Let's talk about the delivery system you use.
Okay.
Some of it is performance. Some of it is technology. What kind of balance is there in your class between that?
More performance than technology.
Okay.
I do some of the technology where I pull it out and use it. I would say more like 60-65% is performance.
Okay.
And then the others, technology. I like to do the technology where they do it outside the class, or we use technology just to highlight or crunch the numbers, but not to be the center of it all. I guess if you call using applets technology, then I use a little bit more technology too.
Okay.
Because come to
so
think of it,
60,
I use
40?
A lot of applets in there. So I'd say it's more like 40%, you know,
okay.
Technology. I use a lot of applets because I think it's something they can do over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And start seeing it. And that's what I want them to see instead of getting so close to it and can't see the trees because the forest in the way.
You say you teach in a computer lab.
Well, what we have is really unique. We have what we call clients. They look like laptops, but they're not a computer. All it is a wireless or sort of a something that's similar to a Wi-Fi connection.
Okay.
And it connects to a single server that services those 24 computers. We really have 48 computers in there. We have two sets, so one's always being charged at one time. And we pull them out. They're only $100 each. They look like a laptop. And that way they're not always in the way. We don't need to have them in our way. We can only use them when we need to. And it works really nice, you know, somewhat. We have some connectivity problem every once in a while. Tech issues, and it's kind of frustrating occasionally. But so that's the setting we have, and we're experimenting with it at our school. I'm not quite sold on it yet. I'd rather have my computer hardwired still.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works a lot better, and it's a lot faster. Because when you have to turn on the laptop somewhat, it takes a good 5 minutes to get the class up and running and speed-wise.
Kind of inefficient.
Yeah, it's pretty inefficient. And then we have to, it takes, you know, 3 to 4 minutes to close it down and put them away, too, because we have to put them away and plug them all in, too. Sort of like it looks like a switchboard to the old days where you have to plug the cord in, and my students are plugging them all over the place. So occasionally I sit there and I unplug them, plug them into the one next to the computer. And then I have students putting it in backwards and some not turning off the computer and still plugging it in and all that kind of stuff still happening.
So much fun.
Oh yeah, and you try to teach them, you know, procedures, and you know they're just not very good on procedures. Yeah.
Oh, we are almost at the end of the list of questions, so I'm going to ask you some kind of general pull it all together sorts of questions.
Okay.
Can you provide me any additional information about your hesitations for using any of these fun elements? Anything else?
The only one is one I mentioned. I don't particularly want to sing because of my voice. But
okay.
Yeah. Nope. No other hesitation. I'm.
Okay.
I'm willing.
No other
hesitation. I have no pride.
Okay.
I would try anything that would help them learn it.
And can you tell me anything more about your motivations for using fun?
Well, first of all, I've always been someone who's enjoyed humor. And I remember when I had classes where the professor was using humor, I enjoyed that. And I'm humorous outside. My friends call me humorous. And I just think that's just part of my personality.
Okay. I think your classes sound lots of fun.
Yeah, I wish. And there are people in the class that really enjoy it. There is. There's just humor isn't for everyone, apparently.
Well, that's what we're aiming for, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Life is too short not to enjoy it.
Well, that's right. That's right. Well, that's the end of my questions. Do you have any questions for me?
No. Is there going to be, after you're all done with this, is this a dissertation someone's working on?
This is not a dissertation.
Okay.
But this is a possible article.
Okay,
and
good.
It may show up in the JSE.
Yeah, if it does, I would like to know about it, so I'd be sure to look it up and see it. I would love to read it.
Okay, well, we're probably going to be submitting a paper sometime yet this fall.
Uh-huh.
If it gets published, I would anticipate it's going to be sometime in the spring.
Okay.
But we certainly will contact you and let you know if it's coming out.
Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
The other thing I wanted to say is that we have decided to put our interviewees' names all in a hat to draw for a chance on a $25 gift card as a thank you for participating. So your name will go in.
Thank you.
And if you happen to win the gift card, we will contact you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, you have a good time.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Please stand by.